Hey, welcome to this slightly different episode of Teach Languages Online. And this episode, I want to share something with you that I, to be honest, wasn't planning to. And it's a video. And maybe you're thinking, but this is a podcast. And yes, yes, it is. And I made this video because I really wanted a chance to share my full teaching story with you, and I figured that video was an easier way to do this, to sit and actually look and talk to the camera. And then as we were editing this, I thought, you know what, I want to share this here on the podcast as well, because I think this would be useful. And one final thing before we dive in, something very, very exciting. I've been working on a free on-demand training for you for quite a while now, and I'm very, very happy to share this with you at the same time as I'm sharing this episode. To get your free access to the on-demand training, just go straight to lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training and you'll be able to sign up right there. Now, what's great about this is because it's on demand, you can, like, you have access for a few days and you can watch whenever suits you. So you're not having to wait for me to go live, or you're not having to wait for, you know, stay up till 3 a.m. because the time zone doesn't match or anything like that. It's there for you when you can watch it over the next few days. And of course, it's free, so that's a nice bonus. And it's training, which means you're gonna come away, you're gonna learn something, whether you are just starting out teaching online or whether you've got a little bit of experience but you're feeling like you need some support. Wherever stage you're at, I've planned this training, I've designed this training so that it's gonna be useful for you across the board, and it's gonna be something that will help you going forward, whatever stage you're at. Okay, so definitely head over to lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training to sign up for that training now. And I'll see you on the other side. Hey, hello. So today, this video is all about online teachers. So if you're watching this and you teach languages online, or if you want to, then this one is for you. I just wanted to make a video to really kind of share my story from like the beginning of my experience with teaching online to here, and share a little bit about each stage of that and what happened and how I got to doing what I'm doing today, which is this weird job that is very hard to explain to people. So I never really grew up knowing what I wanted to do when I was older. To be honest, I kind of had this vision of being like this, the first like successful hybrid singer actress, maybe, who did it in French and Spanish, because that was what I was learning, and that's what I was kind of good at when I was at school. You know, the things of like your teachers at parents' evening are like, this is, you're really good at this and whatever. You know, I was kind of okay across the board, like science and maths and all of that stuff, but I didn't really like it or care about it. But languages was something that I kind of did a little bit better at. Not that there was, it was kind of like a low benchmark because no one really cares about languages at school in the UK, which is a real shame. So somehow I was kind of like, was considered good at that at school. Like I won a little award at this thing. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do with that. I just was following the stuff that was naturally feeling more right for me based on that. And then when I then had to pick my A-levels, so GCSEs, I picked languages. When I then went to pick my A-levels, I wanted to do languages again because I thought it's a useful skill. And I also thought I'll do drama. But the thing was, I wanted to do Spanish. And to do Spanish, I only had two choices. I either went to this sixth form school that was like 20 minutes away in this random village, or I went to the college that was like the bigger kind of mother college of the college in my town, and was like an hour away on the bus. Like the town itself was quite near, but the bus journey was like an hour each day times two. It just seemed exhausting. So I went to the school in the village with the sixth form, and I did French and Spanish there. And I remember I went to the open evening and they said, yeah, so welcome. Obviously we're a specialist language college. I was like, oh. I remember just looking at my mum like, oh, well that makes the decision easy. And so I was able to then keep up with languages. Now the difference was, between this and my school previously where I'd been, there was no talk at my old school of university or anything. There was just like very little expectation that that was the direction that your life would go in if you went to this school. And it was kind of weird then when I suddenly went to this sixth form place, which was in another school, and all of a sudden everything was university this, university that. And I was like, whoa, hang on, what? So this is like now a complete just expectation. Like there was no clear alternative. For some reason, I kind of then went, well, hang on a minute, but what if I don't want to go to university? Somehow this led to me having this almost rebellious streak of like, well, wait, that's not the only option. Surely there has to be something else. And that was when I decided that eventually I did book a place at university, but like deferred for a year. And I went away for a year and I took a gap year. I took a year to like decide a bit more solidly what I wanted to do. So I had a place booked at university to study languages, but I had this year in between. And that year started off working in a petrol station. Cool. Amazing. Totally random job that was like minutes from my house, really easy to get to, kind of annoying shifts, annoying like really early morning to middle of the day or middle of the day till like 10 o'clock at night, but it worked and I got paid and it was fine. But then in the middle of that year, I went away for 3 months to Costa Rica. So this was my first like teaching experience. So I was working in this petrol station. And I was coming home when I'd work those morning shifts. I'd come home at like 2 p.m. and I'd sit down for about an hour or an hour and a half and do my TEFL course. So as part of this thing, going to Costa Rica teaching English, you had to do this online TEFL certificate. And so I was doing that in my afternoons, like coming home from the petrol station, studying away. And then a few months down the line, I finished and I got my certificate. Amazing. Yay. Wonderful. And I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it was this necessity that I had to do to go on this this experience going to Costa Rica. And I thought maybe, you know, teaching English is something that I'd want to do in the future, but I had no knowledge of how you would even begin to do that, like as a job or anything. And so I went to Costa Rica, had an amazing time. And to the point that I came back and was like, I don't really want to go to university. I don't see how that's going to benefit my life. Like to go and kind of, you know, be thrust out into the world at age 18 and suddenly get 4 years for a language degree with a year abroad, 4 years worth of debt, like saddled to my name. Just that didn't make sense to me as like, why is this the way that we've created this world? It didn't make any sense. So I decided not to go. I was like, there must be another way that I can keep learning languages and that I can actually like do a job. Like I didn't care what job I did actually. That was the thing. I thought I could even stay working in this petrol station. Like there was like a supervisor role that opened up and I was like, do I go for that? Like I don't really want to work in a petrol station, but if I have a really like simple job that I don't need to think about, that just gives me all the free time outside of that job, like as thinking space where I can be doing more stuff and better stuff, aka learning languages on my own. And, you know, obviously I didn't take that job in the end, but it did give me this freedom to think of like, there's other ways. I don't need to go to university and get debt. But like I said, I still wanted to learn those languages. And so I searched around for like part-time university, is that a thing? Like, you know, and I found Birkbeck University in London, and then through finding that, I kind of Google spiraled into finding the Open University, started my degree. I was like, this is perfect. Distance learning, part-time, like really kind of low fees at the time because of what I was earning, like at the kind of, well, at this point, not at the petrol station. I'd moved jobs, more on that in a minute. I didn't have to pay any fees to begin with. Now that's a bit different because of the university fees, like, what's the word, coalition government, whatever. So now you do have to pay. But like at that point, I managed to start my degree for free, essentially, which was insane. So like, yeah, it took me 6 years, but I came away with no debt and I was able to work and travel and do all of this cool stuff at the same time. So it's kind of the better option for me. And I'm pretty happy. It was one of the best decisions I ever made, without a doubt. So I started that November 2009. And at the same time as I started that, I had been to Costa Rica, gone back to the petrol station, found another job working in a laboratory of a flour mill, left that job because I'd found another job that was like more directly linked to this degree I was about to start. And that job was working in a school as what they call a learner support assistant. So basically someone who works with, I don't know what the like correct term at the time, it was called special needs, but working with children with additional needs, I think is a bit more kinder. And then that kind of the way that that went meant that I was then working mostly in the language department with, there'd be small groups of children who wouldn't have really had the chance to thrive or to learn at their own pace in a huge classroom setting. And so I was teaching small groups out in the little kind of rooms that we had teaching French and Spanish. So that was really cool. And I was doing this. And what that job allowed me to do then, at the same time, it was like this spiral of all these things happening at once. So I moved out of home for the first time, moved in with friends. I started this new job. I started this degree all within like a month. It was just like, boom, life changes. Here you go. Have them all. And when I started that job, that then finished at 3:30 every day. And it was like, okay, this is cool. But now I suddenly have like bills to pay. Whereas before I was like living at home and paying like, you know, minimal rent of parents, whatever. And it was like, how, what, this makes no sense. This job's really good, but it does not pay enough. So I was talking to a friend of mine and she said, oh, why don't you do some teaching? I was like, teaching? I'm not a teacher. I'm not qualified to teach. She's like, no, yeah, you definitely, you have the experience of the A-levels. You're studying for the degree. Give it a go. You know, people don't have to pick you up on the offer. So I have a few websites out there and I put myself on these websites and I was teaching offline, like driving out to people's homes. And like, it was really quick. Within like a few weeks, I got the first kind of inquiry message come back to me. And I worked with those people like for years. It was just lovely, lovely relationship that you build over that time working with people. And because you're going into their house, like, you know, every week, it's, you know, you're part of their kind of home life in a way. It's really crazy, but really, really, really lovely. So I had a small handful of students that I was working with part-time in the evenings after this school job. And then I left the school job. I had this gap, this naturally kind of occurring gap in my OU studies. And I thought, I've got months there where I don't need to be here. Like, what have I got to lose? I'm going to go and travel a bit more. You know, I've saved up all this money. I'm going to go in and explore a little bit more of the world. So I went to Southeast Asia for like 5 months, ended up coming back halfway through because I had to go to hospital in Thailand. But then kind of pivotal life point going to hospital, because then when I came back from hospital, had about 6 weeks when I came back before going back out again with Ashley, now husband. And when I came back, I thought, let's see if I can find a job for January, for when I was due to return for good. And so I start looking around. I went to actually quite a few interviews, considering I wasn't home for very long, and found a job in a school that was supposedly a better school. It was like outstanding. Their Ofsted report was outstanding. It was in an affluent area and it should have been amazing. It should have been an amazing job. And it was due to start in January. And I was like, how has this happened? How have I been so lucky to just fall into this job that was the same as the other one, like still as like a learning support assistant in a school, in a secondary school, not necessarily that specialist focus on the language department, but still it was the same work I knew how to do. It would still let me teach in the evenings and kind of have time to do my studies and all of this stuff. So I thought, okay, cool, this works, this is perfect. Went away again to Asia, came back, started the job in January, and by April, I was just done. Absolutely hated it. It was completely different to the other school. I was at the other school for 2 years, and it was, you felt included, you felt valued, you felt like your work was, most of the time, like your work was, you know, respected and appreciated. And even if like a kid was angry at you, you kind of, it didn't matter because you knew, you had that chance to get more of a personal bond with these kids. And then when I went to the other school, there were so many learning support staff that you were just a number and you were attached to one kid. So in theory, that should be fine because you then get to learn like that class really well and that one kid really well. But there were just some kids in that class, not the kid I was attached to, but other kids in that class that were just real, like, you know, needed a good telling off, to be honest, from their parents. Real spoiled little brats. And just made it a really horrible place to work. And I just hated that I didn't have that responsibility anymore. I wasn't given the same level of appreciation or trust that I'd had in that previous job. At the time, I didn't realise this. At the time, I just knew I didn't like it. I did not like it and I hated it and I'd be crying in the mornings. Like, I wouldn't want to go in. I'd be freezing up. Almost like now it would be really clear. It would be like, well, you're having an anxiety attack. You're having a panic attack. At the time, it was just like,
I don't know what's wrong with me, but I just don't want to go there. You know, I still had this idea in the back burner when I'd gone away to Asia that if things didn't work out when I came back and I couldn't get a job for whatever reason, then I would try the tutoring thing full time, because I've been doing it a little bit. You know, I had this like really small handful of students I was working with and I loved it and it was great fun. But I thought, you know, maybe I could make this full time, you know, if I really am struggling to find a job. I'd found a job, but I didn't like the job. So started in January, and by April, by the Easter holiday time, I'd handed in my notice and I left. So I lasted like a half term, right? Because I was done. A whole term, sorry. I hated it. So I left in April. I left on Friday the 13th of all days to leave a job. It was kind of scary. And then Monday the 16th of April, started Lindsay Does Languages. That was 2012 when I started, first of all. And so I had this, like, I had three students I was working with to begin with when I first started, like, officially. Started Lindsay Does Languages, instantly thought, well, I need to add English. Because previously, I'd just been offering French and Spanish as, like, kind of homework, school support, right? So I added English to my little website profiles on these tutor places. And, like, again, really quickly, within, like, a week, had my first person get back to me saying they'd love to learn English. And again, worked with her for years, loved working with her. It was amazing. So I got really lucky in those first few students that I had were just wonderful. And then something amazing happened. So I said to myself, okay, I've quit this job. I'm going to give this a year. I'm going to give this tutoring thing a year. If it doesn't work out, I've lost nothing. I'm still studying, you know, at this point. I'm still like, at this point, not even halfway through my degree, you know, just kind of like second year, just maybe going into my third year, not halfway through. And so, you know, I still have like a lot of life ahead of me. I'll give it a year. And within a month, I was really, really lucky. What happened was a parent of one of those first students that I'd worked with from FIT for a couple of years at this point said, oh, wait a minute, well, at work, we're looking for someone to teach English right now, because they'd had this wave of like work coming in, of like, you know, this influx of orders and things. It was a bread factory, garlic bread factory. Again, with bread, I don't know what my theme is here with working in bread places, but anyway, it was a garlic bread factory, and they'd had this wave of work come in, these wave of orders. They needed this wave of staff to keep up with all of that. So they'd gone to the agency, they'd got people in, and then they'd kept them. So they'd got them all in without interviews and stuff, and then kept them long term. So they had people from like Poland, Hungary, Lithuania, Latvia, who could speak in their own languages, but couldn't necessarily speak English to a level that would be safe for working in a factory setting together. So they got me in to teach English to these groups of people. So it was like this corporate work, which I am like, again, like eternally grateful for. I would have had no idea how to get a contract like that when I was first starting out. Not a clue, not a clue. Wouldn't have known where to begin. And that really, really helped, because that was giving me work in the daytime that would then help me to feel less like I needed every single evening job, you know what I mean? So I was able to then say, oh no, sorry, I can't teach. I have no availability in the evenings. I can't drive that far out, all of this stuff, to make these evenings kind of fit. And it took 2 years to get to this point where, you know, I had this stuff in the day. Oh, and I had this other thing I was doing where I was teaching groups of refugees and asylum seekers in the county. They had these like centres, and I was teaching them, like, it was a council funded scheme, teaching groups of young asylum seekers and refugees English there as well. And that was just like over the summer. So there was this daytime stuff that I managed to find, that both of these just like people that I knew, it all just kind of like fell into place. It was amazing. So, so lucky. And then the evening stuff then began to just pick up and flow into its own pattern, to the point that after 2 years, so 2013, 2014, I then had this lovely pattern where I wasn't having to drive like half an hour every night. It was like 5 minutes, next house, 5 minutes, next house and home. And it was just this lovely sequence that worked and was bringing in like more money than I would have made at my school job. That was the crazy thing about this. That was my goal when I said I want to give it a year. I wanted to give it a year, and if I was going to bring in less money than the school job, I was going to call it quits. So I got lucky. Then what happened was, by this point, Ashley was training to be a primary school teacher. So he was doing his PGCE year, like learning how to teach, that kind of thing. And we said, okay, well, at the end of this year, wherever you get a job to teach, we'll move to, because, you know, his teaching salary was going to be more than what I was earning at the time. And that seemed only fair. Like, I could lift myself up and move somewhere else and get new students, no problem. But I thought, but hang on a minute, though. I've spent 2 years building up this, like, perfect business of, like, students and timings and things that just work like clockwork. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have nothing. What am I going to do in between that and getting, you know, I don't want it to take another 2 years in a new place to get to this point of, like, perfect student timings and schedules and clockwork and all of this. So I said to myself, okay, I'm going to teach online. I had a few of my lectures that were online with Open University, and I was like, you know, people teach online now, this is a thing. So I knew this thing existed. I thought, I'm going to teach online in between. So I'm going to get some online lessons, and then it's something, it doesn't matter where I am for that. And then by the time we've moved, I can then work at building an offline base of students again that I teach in the same way I do now. Cool. However, what happened is, it turned out I actually much preferred teaching online, because it meant I didn't have to go out and drive in the dark, in rush hour. I didn't have to, like, you know, worry that a student was going to be, like, ill or anything, and then, oh, there's a student missing this week, how am I going to pay my bill or whatever, you know. There was none of that, because it was all online, and I was just there, and go from one lesson to another like this. It was amazing. So I started teaching online in 2014. And to do this, I thought, how are people going to find me? At first, I was on iTalki. I'd used it a little bit for my own learning, my own lessons. It was, like, pretty much brand new at the time. But still, I wanted people to find me through my own website, because I knew the value of that. I knew, you know, from working on these tutor marketplaces with offline teaching, that they take a cut, they like hide bits of your profile until you, like, pay to see the full thing or whatever. There's always a thing, which is fine, because they're a business and they have to make money. Same with iTalki, it's a business, it makes money, that's cool, whatever. But I wanted that money. I wanted people to find me for myself through my own website, you know? So I thought, how do I get people to my website? I'd had a website for 2 years, I'd never really used it. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna start writing blog posts. So I started writing blog posts. I had this little gap in between two lessons on a Tuesday when I was then doing some school work. I was teaching French to little nursery kids in a school. Then I had two lessons in the evening in the same little area of town. And so I would go to the library in between, write up a blog post, post the blog post on Tuesday afternoons, carry on my day, go to the next lesson. So it just fitted in really nicely. And then I needed to make a video for my iTalki profile. And Ashley said, as he's editing it all, because that was, like, his kind of background, like media production and videos and stuff, and editing in particular. And he said, you know what, you're really good on camera. You should make videos like you're doing with your blogs, but do it on video. I was like, oh, well, I've never thought of that. Can I do that? Can I do YouTube? That sounds kind of scary. So I did. I thought, let's just give it a go. What am I going to do? I don't know. What is language? 9 reasons to learn a language. These were, like, the first video ideas I had. Pretty quickly, like remarkably quickly, I got very lucky again there. They kind of began to gain some traction. People began to, like, pay attention and kind of see me in more places and all of this. And it was beginning to then work, that people were then finding me for me and not relying on looking for me on iTalki. So that was 2014. And then in the summer of that year, just as we were getting ready to move house, because Ashley had got this job that was a little far away, so I was going to have to leave all of my offline students, most of them to begin with at least. Then it was like, okay, we're moving, this is happening now. This one-on-one stuff is great, but there's only so many hours in the day, right? So I started to look up, like, how do people teach online besides, like, one-on-one lessons? And online courses kept coming up. And I thought, you know, this is perfect, because I love doing this video stuff. Ashley can help me with the editing. And it's a really great way to teach and to reach more people. I was like, okay, but what would I teach? So I thought, well, okay, let's start with what I actually enjoy teaching and what I was teaching a lot at that time, which was phrasal verbs. So I made an online course about phrasal verbs. And, well, I didn't make an online course in July 2014. I made the online course like a year later and I released it in October 2015. So it took a long time to get from that first spark of like, yes, this is what I'm going to make. This is the course idea I'm going to make, to writing all the scripts, creating the whole thing, and then launching it out into the world. That was October 2015. Did all right. I sold one course that first weekend. So I was happy with that because I just wanted that validation. Were I to do this now, I would do this the other way around. I would do the validation first before spending like a year making the thing, right? But still, learning curve, it's all good. And I thought, you know what, this is cool and everything, but people that are paying attention to me that have like found me and stuff, they're more like me. They're not all learning English. They're learning all sorts of languages. So how could I teach? What could I teach that would be helpful to more people that know me? I thought, it's the how to learn a language on your own. It was like, I had 6 years of this, of learning how to learn on my own. I'd learned more about it as I'd been teaching as well. I was like, this is exactly what this course needs to be, successful self-study. And that's when that happened, January 2016. I then learned how to do all of the things around the teaching and around the course making that make it work. So like all of the launching stuff and all of that technical stuff. And it worked and it was amazing. And that course still today is like one of my biggest courses for online learners. And so gradually, as I began to then think, oh, wait, this has worked now, I'm able to reach more people with this, I then dropped down from teaching one-on-one stuff more and focused more on how I could help more people. So then the online teaching starter kit came about, various other things in between. And yeah, it's all kind of gone from there, really. I think it's weird to think that just going to Costa Rica and doing that little TEFL certificate from the petrol station, coming home from the petrol station and doing that every hour has kind of led to this, where now I have multiple online courses and a few different products as well, like 100 Creative Ideas. It's kind of more of an ebook. I wrote the book. We went and made language stories, which was just insane. I've written for like The Guardian, and like all of these things have happened from that one little spark all those years ago, and then just a series of like random events that have followed. And the reason I'm telling you this, quite frankly, is that there's no reason why you can't have a similar story to this. If you want to teach languages online, or even if at this point, like I was, you know, you're not really sure that that's 100% what you want to do, but you feel like you'd be good at it, or you feel like, you know, you've got something there that you want to share, then do it, right? So I've made free training for you. I've made a free training. It's on demand, which means you can watch it whenever you can. If you sign up at the link in the description, then you're going to get access for a few days so you can catch up during that time when it suits you. So you're not having to wait for like me to go live, or you're not having to like stay up till 3 a.m. because the time zones don't work or anything like that. You can watch it on demand. You can sign up at the link in the description below for that training. And I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Now, I'd love to hear more about your own experience with teaching and teaching languages online, and how did you get into this? So if you're doing this, feel free to share your own experience in the comments. And as always, remember to subscribe for regular language learning videos, and I will see you very soon. Thank you. Bye. Hello again. So there we go. As I said, it was a video recording, so ignore the mentions of, leave your comments in the comments and all of these things. But just to remind you that you can get that free training, lindsaydoeslanguages.com/teacher-training, and you'll have access to that free on-demand training. It's called How to Start Teaching Languages Online, and it's really going to give you the overview that you need to know, and going to really dive in and focus on one of those key elements of step one with that. Okay, so I'll be back next week, same time, same place. In the meantime, enjoy the training, and I look forward to hearing from you and getting your feedback on the free training. All right, speak soon. Bye.